You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, let's get into it. And we are now focusing on baptism. And remember, this is day four of our conversation. Today, we're talking about practical considerations on baptism. Elder Luendo Simalambo, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, host, and good afternoon to our dear listeners from world over. It's good to have you around this afternoon once again. It's indeed been an exciting week, I must confess.
Indeed, indeed. Today we're talking about the practical considerations, things like what to wear when you're getting baptized, where you're going to get baptized, you know, people who are going to be participating, all those things. Do talk to us about these necessary practical considerations. Go ahead.
Okay, so like you have rightly hinted, when we're talking about the practical considerations of baptism, we are looking at number one, setting a particular date when the baptismal event will take place, what time it will take place, who will be involved in conducting the services, where it will take place, what the baptismal candidates will actually wear, and certain other things like maybe presenting baptismal certificates to them will actually be basically considered as well. Yeah, so there are quite a number of practical things that we will actually consider as we delve into the discussion for today.
Of course, of course. So how does the choice of location for a baptism ceremony contribute to the overall atmosphere and significance of the event?
Okay, now we know that when a choice is to be made, choices basically are made on the basis of values, the basis of beliefs, the basis of knowledge, the basis of skills, the basis of experience, and even on research. So we basically emphasize on the importance of making informed decisions or choices. So, for example, if a venue for baptism is not actually chosen, that would actually communicate that such an event like baptism is not considered as important. Or when there's no organizing committee in place to be able to make sure that activities run smoothly, that also has an impact on the kind of atmosphere that is created. Because when things are left to themselves, they don't tend to organization, but disorganization. That is according to the law of entropy. So when things are left to themselves, they don't tend to organization or disorganization. So the choices that we make definitely have an impact on the outcome of a baptismal ceremony. And that is why when choices are made on the type of venue, that shows the importance and the significance that we attach to this particular activity and sacrament.
Of course, of course. And of course, there is another issue that is not necessarily prescribed in scripture, but there are certain people who feel there has to be a particular color to the gown. It has to be navy or black or white. So my question is, what is the significance of the color of the baptismal gown, and how does that symbolize the spiritual concept associated with baptism?
Okay, so like you have rightly put it, in scripture we're not told specifically about a particular outfit that a baptismal candidate can actually use. In fact, I've witnessed quite a number of baptismal ceremonies. I think I've witnessed over 10 or so. In fact, over 20 or so. Quite a number of them. And candidates would come in different types of clothing. And I think there was only one baptism that I witnessed where candidates were in baptismal gowns. Maybe it's because I've only had an orientation of baptisms that are taking place in Zambia. I've seen some on social media and even in different other places where candidates would be baptismal gowns that are white in color, for example. Now, what is important is that one's dress must be modest, number one. Then number two, when gowns like white gowns are used, we know that in scripture, the color white has got specific significance and symbolism when it is used in a spiritual context. For example, when we refer to Revelation chapter 19, verses 8, The Bible has this to say, and to her, and the her here is referring to the Lamb's wife. And the Lamb represents Jesus Christ. The wife of the Lamb basically represents the church. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, that is white clothing, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. So the clothing that is white, that is being worn by the church, is symbolic basically of righteousness. And we see that righteousness is not something that we can be able to touch or feel, but it is something that we can be able to receive. It is intangible. So the clothing basically is representing righteousness. Now, how does this even connect with our baptism? Now, we know that when we're talking about baptism, we're talking about, one, publicly confessing that they are now being connected to Christ. Then it is also indicative of the justification that has taken place in the human heart when one receives Christ by faith. So they are justified by faith. They are declared righteous, and they are forgiven of their sins. They are washed in the blood of the Lamb. In other words, they are pure and clean spiritually because they are now in right standing with God. So as a symbol of that, one would be arrayed in a white gown also to have that attachment as well. So this is how I can be able to put it based on some implications that we find in Scripture.
Of course, of course. And then we have other churches and denominations and communities of faith that require there to be a mentor, somebody who's going to be a sponsor of sorts. So I'm curious, what considerations might individuals have regarding the selection of a sponsor or a mentor to support them in their faith journey?
Okay. Yeah. There was a book that I was reading by John Mason called The Impossible is Possible, Doing What Others Say Can't Be Done. So in that book, he says every person who is successful is being helped by someone else. Every person who is successful is being helped by someone else. So in the spiritual life equally, for one to be successful, they need to have someone that they can look up to as a mentor, that they can actually be able to confide in, ask a few questions here and there. So number one who qualifies to be a mentor is one who models the reformed or transformed life. So for example, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verses 1 has this to say. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verses 1, he says, be followers of me, even as I also am a follower of Christ. So he's saying, follow my example, follow me even as I follow Christ. So he is a model of what it means to be a follower of Christ. So when one is choosing one who is going to be a mentor and the like, they must choose someone who is a follower of Christ, so that they know that if they are following the example, then they'll be following the footprints of Christ. Then one also who is spiritually and doctrinally sound. One who is spiritually and doctrinally sound. So that even as you seek their advice as a mentee, one is seeking advice that is scripture-based, not something that is based on one's emotion or motion or intuition or common knowledge or tradition or human theory, but something that is scripturally sound and based. So someone who is spiritually and doctrinally sound, and someone who is in good and regular standing, so to speak.
Okay, I hear you. I hear you. And then the idea now of when to have your baptism, whether do you have it before the worship service? Do you have it after the worship service? When do you have it? How does the incorporation of the baptismal service into the regular worship service enhance the sense of community and unity within the congregation?
Okay. So, number one, when a baptismal ceremony is taking place, there are people that witness the service that is taking place. So one is able to see that they are not actually alone, but there is that social support that they are receiving. Then number two, there are people also that are there to welcome the new members into the family of God. So these people that are there the one is able to see that even as they are baptized,
yeah,
they are accepted into the new family of God. So there's that sense of oneness. One is welcomed, and they feel that now they are part of a bigger family because the reception is good.
Right.
Then there's also the aspect of mentorship that we have talked about, where someone is assigned. So even as one begins to walk in this new spiritual journey, as they are baptized, they don't feel alone. They feel that they are with others that will be along with them as they move along the way. And remember, we said when one is baptized and they're accepted into the family of God, there are responsibilities also that they'll be given, which they'll be able to do. So one knows that when you are doing those responsibilities, for example, you're ushering, you'll be able to do your ushering in the church. When you, for example, are doing Bible studies, you'll be able to have other people coming on board to help you do the Bible studies, even as you continue to exercise the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit has actually given you. So the baptism definitely adds to a sense of unity and oneness in the church.
I see. And then the final question, in planning and organizing baptism ceremonies, what practical considerations should be taken into account to ensure a smooth and meaningful experience for all individuals?
Okay. Number one, there must be a planning or organizing committee in place to ensure that all the planning activities are done according to the guidelines that are specified. Now, why is that important? Someone once said proper planning prevents poor performance. So nothing must be left to chance. Everything must be in place, and it must be highly structured and highly organized. Then number two, there must be practical considerations when it comes to the choice of a venue that is used for baptism. For example, if it is a river that is being used, that river must not be a health hazard. If it's a pool that is being used, that pool must not be a health hazard. Because if it is a health hazard, there's an accident that takes place and the like, that may discourage other people from participating in that activity.
Yeah.
Then if, for example, the baptism activity is not taking place at the local church or at a venue where a call is made for people to be baptized, then there must be transport that is organized for those that are being baptized to and from the venue where the baptism will actually be taking place.
Right.
And lastly, the date when the baptism must take place also must be clearly stipulated, together with the person who will be the baptizing minister and other individuals like deacons who will be able to provide the support to make sure that the clothing for the baptismal candidates is there. And even as the baptismal candidates come out of the pool and the like, there may be towels that are there for them to be able to wipe the water off their bodies and the like. And even those that are organizing, if baptismal certificates will be given at the end of the ceremony to make sure that the person who's supposed to sign the baptismal certificates, organize them, is there. And there's a ceremony that is organized with a lot of singing that is taking place, and people are welcomed into the family of God.
Indeed, my goodness, that clarifies it all. Thank you very much, Mdala. Appreciate it. Please pray for us just before we close.
Okay, thank you so much. Shall we pray? Our gracious Father in heaven, we thank you that you have endowed us even with intellectual faculties, mental faculties, and abilities, and that when it comes to spiritual matters, we must not leave our heads and intellects behind, but that we must serve you with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and even our spirit. So, gracious Father, we pray that even as we conduct these baptismal activities in our churches, you may be at the heart of them and we may have practical considerations for them. We pray that even as we have shared this message, it may continue to ring in our hearts and minds and bear the fruit that it ought to bear, so that as your church,
right,
we may be able to conduct things according to your will for grace and for the glory and honor of your name. This is our prayer in Jesus' name, your Son. Amen.
Thank you very much, Elder. We really appreciate your time, and we are looking forward to your conversation once again as we conclude it tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, Mdal.
Thank you so much, and I wish you a wonderful day to all our dear listeners just world over and the team at SID Media. You're doing a great job. God bless.
Amen. Thank you very much.
It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.